tonight I'm going to share a little bit around the gospel as the ultimate answer. The title of what I'm going to share, and so that's if you're a note taker. I don't have notes on the screen tonight, but the title of what I'm going to share is Our Pleasure Seeking. Our Pleasure Seeking. The gospel is the ultimate answer. Our pleasure seeking. The gospel is the ultimate answer. And on that note, I shall indulge my thirst with this water. Here's what I want to get across to you tonight. I want you to realize that God longs for you to be happy. He longs for your pleasure. After all, it was God that created your taste buds, your senses. God created the endorphins in your brain. God created those things. God longs for you to be happy. He is the ultimate pleasure to the desires of your heart. The purpose of coming to Him is to be deeply satisfied. For too long, the church has held out a get out of jail free card as Christianity. That's what Christianity is. Come to Jesus and you get a card. That when you get to the gates of hell, you show the card and then they'll say, you don't have to go here. You can go to the next room. That's what we have held Jesus up to be. And Romans 2 says that it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. When you preach the goodness of God, repentance just means, the Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to change the way you think. God, Jesus came to change the way we think about God. Because we thought, even the Hebrews, even the Jews thought that God was a distant being and that He was out to get us. And we had to do a whole bunch of things so that He could be pleased with us. And Jesus came to reveal the nature of God. Jesus came to change our mind about God. And repentance means to change your mind about God. And, dare I say, repentance means to change, it just means to change your mind. That's what it means, okay? So you repent of your sin, you repent of whatever. You are changing your mind about that thing and about who God is and about who you are. Repentance is two main things. Repentance is changing your mind about who God is and about who you are. That's what repentance is. I am a new creation in Christ. I am not a slave to sin. I am not bound by sin. I am not in Adam. I am in Christ. That is who I am. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's who I am. That's what repentance means. But how do you repent? The kindness of God. When you preach this, it is that leads us into changing our mind about who we are and who He is. You see, that's the purpose of coming to Him. The purpose of coming to God is to be deeply satisfied. We come because, you see, if the kindness of God leads you to that repentance, then it's like you're thirsty and I have the best answer to your thirst. You naturally, I'm saying, I have free water. You are thirsty and you haven't drunk for 3 days and I have bottles of water. Who wants? You just run to the front. Here, take some. I just hand it out. That God wants you to run to Him and be satisfied. If you're not deeply satisfied, then you have not found the source of the river of pleasure. You may be satisfied on a religious level, in that you feel good about doing the right thing, but if you're not deeply satisfied, your only satisfaction, your only feeling good is when I do the next right thing. If you're not deeply satisfied, you're not recognizing the source of true satisfaction. So tonight I want to share four things. Firstly, I want to show you that you were created for pleasure, and it is God who wants you to be happy. Secondly, that God is your ultimate pleasure. Thirdly, that experiencing the pleasures of who He is far easier than you think. And fourthly, I want to show you where that journey starts and how you can enhance that journey. Amen. Thank you. You guys are awesome, man. I'm just letting you guys be satisfied. You guys are like, ooh, I'm drinking. Okay, drink. Just stop and drink. It's beautiful. Buckets of love. Black Eyed Peas have a song, one of the most watched songs on YouTube. I know what you think. You know what I'm thinking. Yeah, you're thinking, should he sing it? That's what you're thinking. Well, you're right. I'm probably not going to get this in key, but I'll just go with what I think the key is anyway. Boy, I think about it every night and day. I'm addicted to your love. I'm addicted, wanna gel inside your love. And then the guy goes, I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Thank you. See, it sounds better because you actually don't know what key it's really in, hey? You see, that song is really popular because the truth is there is a longing deep within every heart of man to be satisfied in love. And the closest satisfaction we can find outside of God is loving relationships. That's the closest. That is why I believe sex is so rampant. Sexual immorality is so rampant. Because it is the closest thing that can satisfy outside of God. Because in that sexual intimacy is a receiving of a certain kind of love. And so people get addicted to that love. They don't necessarily get addicted to the feelings, of course they do. But more than that, the intimacy, the love that they have for each other, people get addicted to that. When they're in it, that song is not fake, it's real. That was written on a real basis. I'm addicted to your love and I can't get enough. And there is a longing deep within every man's heart to be satisfied on that level. It's deep within the heart of every man. And who do you think put it there? Our Creator. Our Father. The one who knitted us together before we were even born. The one who put us together. He created those longings. Why? Because the only person who could satisfy those longings is Him. That's why He did it. So that we can be satisfied in Him. Laugh. It's beautiful. Laugh. It's beautiful. That's really what I'm talking about tonight. What I'm talking about tonight is this. It's this thing. This thing of laughing in the Spirit. Of being drunk in the Spirit. Of being overwhelmed in the glory of God. You see, sometimes people laugh in the Spirit. And then other people laugh at the people that are laughing in the Spirit. And then we go, well, I don't know who was the right person, because if he was laughing at the person who's laughing in the Spirit, then that's bad. But because he's laughing in the Spirit, that's good. And you're bad because you're laughing at him, because you're not laughing by the Spirit. You're laughing. Wait, if the Spirit started the laughing, then the guy who's laughing at him is laughing because of the Spirit. If the Spirit never came, no one would be laughing. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Shut up, James, I'm listening. Stop laughing, James, I'm trying to listen to the preacher. It's okay, you don't have to try and focus. It's actually okay, just laugh. Find something to laugh at. Laugh at me. You see, laugh. The Spirit makes us laugh because that's what we were created for. We were created to laugh. We were created to cry. What are the two things that lovers do when they are deeply intimate? Either laughing or crying. Simple as that. Now I have times where I'm laughing in the Spirit, where I'm laughing at people in the Spirit, where I'm just laughing at church, whatever it may be. And it's beautiful. And the Holy Spirit is working in me and satisfying my desires in that moment. And I'm just enjoying God. I'm enjoying who I am, what I've been created to do. I'm just enjoying that. But there's other times, which for me are actually, everyone's different. For me are actually even more intimate, where I actually uncontrollably weep. Uncontrollably. The tears just flow. I can't stop crying. Because in that moment, the Spirit is so working in me and moving in me that I can just feel Him. And every emotion in my body just wants to explode. It's Him. It's Him doing that. Okay. Christian hedonism. Who knows what hedonism is? Put your hands up if you know what hedonism is. A couple of people. Put your hands up if you don't know what hedonism is. Oh, more hands. Okay. Quickly. Hedonism is the worship of pleasure. It's, you will do everything to get pleasure. Everything. Drugs, heroin, sex, just go, just do everything to get pleasure. That's hedonism. John Piper, one of the world's greatest theologians today, one of the most influential theologians today, John Piper advocates, he proposes, he encourages Christian hedonism. And Christian hedonism is not that our happiness is the highest good. Okay? Because hedonism promotes that your happiness is the best thing. Christian hedonism isn't that your happiness is the best thing. It's rather that your deepest satisfaction is. Because happiness can last for a moment. Deep satisfaction is eternal. Christian hedonism is finding your place in that deep satisfaction. And only in God is our deepest satisfaction found. Now, a lot of Christians will say to you, a lot of religious leaders will say, if it doesn't hurt, it's not from God. How many of you have heard the one, if your dreams don't scare you spitless, then they're not God's dreams. I don't know, someone else said spitless. If your dreams don't scare you spitless, then they're not from God. I understand the concept. But Christianity is not about... Actually, it's not. Christianity is not about sacrifice. Christianity is about one sacrifice. Jesus Christ on a cross. And when you receive what has been opened up because of the one sacrifice as the world calls it, is easy. I just want to read to you. I haven't even gotten to point one, and I promise I've even written down what time I started. I promise I'm going to get through this in half an hour. But I just want to read to you some things here. Firstly, C.S. Lewis. Told you I'm reading a lot of philosophy. I said to my cousin today, Jenna, I said, what about philosophy? She's like, no, don't talk too much about philosophy. I tried, Jen. I tried. It's in me. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, it is a Christian duty, as you know, for everyone to be as happy as they can. C.S. Lewis. That's almost 100 years ago. Blaise Pascal, a French mathematician. All men seek happiness without exception. Without exception. They all aim at this goal, however the different means they use to attain it. They will never ever make the smallest move but with this as its goal. This is the motive of all actions of all men, even those who contemplate suicide. All men seek happiness without exception. Not even a Christian philosopher. Well, he may have been, but just in reading. That's what mankind is looking for. And I want to tell you, friends, we've got the answer right here. Okay, so I think I actually covered the first point, that you were created for pleasure and that it is God who wants you to be happy. You were created for pleasure and it is God who wants you to be happy. You know the word Eden? I looked it up. The Hebrew origin of the word Eden, where God created us to live. God created mankind to live in Eden. He created Eden, then he created man, whatever. Created Eden, then he creates man, and then he puts man in Eden. Do you know what the word Eden means? The original Hebrew. It means delight. Delight. We were created for delight. It's beautiful. But now I'd like to say to you, the second point is that God is your ultimate pleasure. God is your ultimate pleasure. You see, we have not been saved out of hell. We have been saved into absolute satisfaction. And when you are deeply satisfied, nothing else matters. I want to show you a verse. Nicole, can we please have Galatians 5:16 up? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul is talking about the desires of the flesh. Okay, now, that word, can you change it to ESV, please? Sinful nature, you'll see ESV. It's the exact same translation, except instead of sinful nature, it's flesh. Okay? I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul doesn't say, don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice, he doesn't say that. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you won't. You can't. You actually can't gratify. You've heard it so many times. We all understand that flesh, God created the flesh. God created your taste buds, your endorphins. But sometimes they can control us. If we don't realize who we are, they can control us. And we want to eat too much. Whatever. I'm just trying to avoid being offensive. But when we are walking in the Spirit, which is so much easier than we think, when we are simply in union with our Creator who has been poured out on all flesh, when we are simply in union with Him, it comes naturally that we don't want to gratify. We don't even need to gratify the desires of the flesh. It just comes naturally. Now I want to read to you John 6:35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus is talking about the bread in the desert. He's talking to the Pharisees, and at this point he was really close to getting crucified. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Hey? That's salvation. Salvation is not being saved from hell. Salvation is to never go. I don't need another thing. I don't need another. I have been fully satisfied in Him. He satisfies every desire. The deeper we go into union with Him, the deeper we go into understanding His love for us, the less we need anything else. We can go further and further, deeper and deeper, until eventually we need nothing else. Not even food, I would go as far as saying. But you know, God wants us to eat food. God wants us to enjoy a good meal. Because it's all part of the journey. Enjoying. God was with Adam and Eve when they were eating the fruit. When Adam was naming the animals, God was with them. When Adam was enjoying the fruit, God was with them. And they'd probably share some fruit together. But God was with them all the time. And here, Jesus was saying stuff that was going straight over the Jews' heads. They didn't understand that they could partake of the divine nature. I am the bread of life. In other words, you can eat me. When I am in you, I will give life to your mortal body. Can we have Romans chapter 8? And verse 11. Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. That is a now verse. That is not a one day verse. That is not a one day when we are glorified. It's when you still have a mortal body. Because the last four words are past tense. Who lives in you already. He gives life to your mortal body. That's what Jesus was saying. I am the bread of life. You eat me in the same way when you eat bread, it goes into your body and your bloodstream goes through your stomach and takes the nutrients out of that bread and goes into every part of your body and gives life to your body. I do the same thing to your mortal body. Mystical, crazy. That's why you can't be like a Greek and try and figure this out. It's got to be by the Spirit. Pleasure. God loves the Greek. Amen. I'm quite bad like that. Karina always tells me. Whenever you're preaching against someone, you make them sound bad. Greeks are awesome. Oh, wait. Dimitri. There we go. Well done. I see now why. Yes. I only have 10 minutes left. Okay. Never thirst. Never thirst. Thanks, Nicole. You can take that off. Okay, now my third point is experiencing the pleasures of who He is far easier than you think. Can you bring up Hebrews 11 verse 6? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, and then get ready on the computer, because we're going to have a look at another verse after that. If you're taking notes, I'll just reread that again. Experiencing the pleasures of who He is far easier than you think. And it says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's directly related to each other. He exists and He rewards those who come to Him. If you come to Him, He rewards. Just simple childlike faith. When you simply believe. When you simply believe that He exists and He wants to. When you simply believe He's in the room. When you simply believe that He is in you. When you simply believe that He will reward your childlike faith. And then Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Matthew 18 verse 3. I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to propose to you the word enter is not talking about going into heaven. It's talking about experiencing the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans chapter 14. Entering heaven, the kingdom, is experiencing that. Unless you change and become like a little child who doesn't care what anyone else is thinking, who's not worried, just satisfied in their daddy. Tonight, when the prophetic words came through and Jen was singing prophetically, I know we were saying buckets, but I had a vision, and it was quite a clear one as well. The Lord, I was literally under a waterfall. I couldn't see above the water because all I could see was this water, and it was tinted red, and it was just flowing over me. I just had my mouth open, I guess, and it was just filling every part of me, consuming me. James, that's silly. Jesus said, childlike faith. Ding dong. Okay, and my fourth and final point is this. Where the journey starts and how it can be enhanced. That's my fourth point. That's actually like a question, eh? Where the journey starts and how it can be enhanced. Okay. The first point of that, fourth point, is that the experience of His pleasure and presence can be in almost anything. See, we've compartmentalized our lives. God fits in the church box. And when I read my Bible box, and when I listen to worship music box. My time is when I'm listening to my favorite music, U2. When I'm watching my favorite TV show. Nieman. I'm talking about me here, Steve, not you. Come on, guys. Throw me something that I would watch. Lost. Amen. Lost. Shame. Lost. Lost. And then that's my time. When I'm watching Lost and listening to you two, that's my time. When I'm reading the Bible, that's me and God time. That's my Christian time. When I'm with my wife, that's me and Kareen time. When I'm cooking dinner, that's chore time. I cook dinner sometimes. I do, babe. Tell them. I cook dinner sometimes. Nando's. Chicken's kind of food. When I'm cooking dinner, we've compartmentalized life. When I'm going to school, I am learning. When I'm with my friends, I am socializing. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, his vision is to make the whole internet non-compartmentalized and make it one experience. Christianity is meant to be the same experience. Everything you do, God is involved. Everything. When I'm watching you, some of my most spiritual experiences have been watching YouTube videos. Amen. And dare I say it, me too. Dare I say it, this is going to offend a lot of you, but I'm going to say it. When he swears, more grace. You know, because when Bono swears, he's being real. Christians can be so fake. Bono has a deeper revelation of Christ's sacrifice on the cross than some pastors. Not our one. Amen, Val. Amen. Every area of life, you start there, and it's a journey. When I'm enjoying a good meal, you'll notice, if you ever with me and I'm at my favorite restaurant, which is KFC, like really cheap, but I'm enjoying that meal, I'm like, I stop, I don't talk. I don't want to talk in that moment, I want to enjoy. That's God. God is in those moments. He's there, right there. When I'm having fun with my family, when I'm playing soccer, I just love those moments. When I'm angry at the taxi driver who drove in front of me, he's right there. You see, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about people who were having sex outside of marriage, with temple prostitutes even. They were having sex with them. And you know what Paul says to them? He says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't have time to read the whole verse because you could break that whole thing down. But what Paul is saying is, you know, even when you are sinning like that, Christ is in you and with you. Because shall I join a member, a body part of God with a prostitute? Because that's what you're doing. That's what he's saying. Now turn that on its positive end, and that means everything you do, he's with you. He's there, right there, in that moment. That's it. That's all it comes down to. That's what's so powerful about that passage in 1 Corinthians 6. You see, Paul was saying that. He was trying to get them to change their minds. Paul was saying that because when they realize their body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, they don't want to be going and just frolicking around with their bodies and other women's bodies who are just selling it off to any old guy. Because they're saying, I'm bigger than this. I am a member of God. I'm a body part of God Himself. It's mind-blowing. And when you start there, when you just start there, church takes on a different light. We come, we enter, we talk to our friends, we have coffee, we sit down, we come forward, we worship. Don't worship standing up with your arms raised just because everyone else does it that way. If sitting down is easier, then sit down. Close your eyes. Lie down. He is right there and He's right in you. And sometimes He manifests that love. He manifests the reality of Him in you. When Corrine and I are talking and then we may, over a really romantic dinner, whatever it may be, cry over our relationship, whatever, just in a moment of intimacy, whatever it may be. and we cry. That's a manifestation of the love that we share. And when we are laughing in the Spirit, crying in the Spirit, shaking in the Spirit, whatever it may be, it's a manifestation of our union with God, that we are one with God. Ephesians 2, we are seated in heavenly realms already. When we're shaking and doing all those things, it's a manifestation of a reality that is already taken place. That's all it is. And so if you're not shaking, that doesn't change your reality. Your reality is the same. And I dare to say, when you just start simply at the beginning of God is with me all the time in everything I do, when you start there and being conscious of Him and then being childlike and not worrying about what people think or if this is the right thing, just not worrying about those things, you'll start to believe more that He's in you, and you find all of a sudden you start crying in worship. You start laughing. Your hand starts shaking. What is this? That's God making real God in you, Holy Spirit, poured out on all flesh.